Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got when I tell you this, and I'm not just making this up, we've got an awesome show planned for you tonight. We're just waiting for some of our co-hosts that will be joining us to press 1 on their dial. So that's what we're waiting for now, and we're going to be coming to you all live this evening. We missed some of our co-hosts last night, but certainly, nevertheless, some of them are joining us tonight that were not here on last evening. So we want to welcome them at this time. Let's go ahead and first begin by bringing in Sir Benny. Sir Benny, thank you for joining us tonight. Sir, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Good evening, good evening. It's a pleasure to be on with you tonight. Happy Friday. Happy fantastic Friday. As being one of your hosts, I'm most grateful and thankful that I'm able to add my little 2 cents in. I hope it can multiply and become a million.
All right. Okay. We certainly do appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and at this time bring in Pastor Rowe, who was we missed him on last evening. Pastor Rowe, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you, sir.
Well, it's great to be on, and I had heard that we had a good discussion about purpose and the purpose-driven life, and it's so important to have a purpose. And I just, I guess dementia kicked in on me, and I missed the show, but I'm glad I'm on this evening and always enjoy the leadership that you provide, Dr. Jesse Walker, and giving us something to think about so that we can align ourselves up with God's word. Back to you, Dr. Jesse Walker.
Right. We're so happy that you're here, and we're going to rebuke dementia things. Some of you all may be listening to your computer at the same time that you're listening on the phone. And it's going to cause a conflict and bring extra noise into the studio. So we're going to ask that you be mindful of that. You're listening live to Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. Certainly hoping that you all will continue to stay with us tonight as we bring you tonight's topic. Besides your faith, what makes you a believer in Christianity? Pastor Rowe, and we're going to ask if we can keep our comments to confine them to about 20 seconds or less. So we got a lot to cover tonight. Pastor Rowe, let me begin by asking you, what's the difference in your opinion between evolution and creation? And if you would, talk about Darwin, Darwin and Darwinism.
Well, I think it's very, very interesting, besides your faith and what makes you a believer in Christianity, that theory that he had, the Darwin, things, how things evolve, I can understand certain elements. But what makes me a believer in Christianity is, just the principles and things that that we have so uniquely talked about in the last couple of months since I've been on the show. It works, and everything comes about because of of what God has ordained for us. I believe in creation and not so much just evolution, but there are some things that does evolve, but everything is under the principles of and the guidelines and the of the Word of God.
All right, thank you. And bye. Remember, we're going to try to keep the comments, you all, to 20 seconds or less because we've got a lot to cover. We want to invite God into our programming tonight. Father, we thank you and be with us. And not our will, but thy will be done. And help us to take from this more than what we brought to it. In Christ's name I pray and thank you. Amen. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. We want to hear from you all tonight as well. You can press 1. And we'll, if we're not familiar, if your name doesn't come up on the screen, we're going to ask. We'll call out the first 6 numbers only of your number. If you're on mute, take yourself off mute, and you can certainly respond to the question. We certainly would appreciate your comments, you all, because, you know, perhaps we're all searching for answers. Maybe some of us know, or we think we know, or we don't know at all. So let's see if we can find out together. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here and ask you your thoughts on, let's talk about evolution first. In public school, basically, a science teacher has a duty to teach evolution in science, unless there was a some objection that has come along in the last few years or so. What are your thoughts on that, Sir Ben?
Well, our schools are designed to teach us the basic principles of life. It's not designed to teach us the basic principles of spirituality or religion and those kind of things. Those are things that have been propagated to our families, our mothers, our pastors, our church members, and all those people there. So the whole principle of evolution comes about as the fact that it's a basics for letting us know how life can evolve and change based on certain characteristics of how the world is evolving. We are all products of evolution. We are evolving from what you were. We have gotten taller. We've gotten bigger. Initially, we were really big, tall people. Then we shrunk. Now we're starting to get back tall again. So evolution has us greatly. So.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. Once again, tonight, you're just joining us. Besides your faith, what makes you a believer? We want to hear from you all out there, even some of our sponsors. If you want to go ahead and you can press 1 on your dial. You know, the challenge is sometimes we may not want to respond live on the air for fear or the anxiety of maybe we're thinking that we don't make sense. But listen, on this program, I promise you, it's not designed in any manner or fashion to put pressure on someone about what they believe, why they believe it, even though we may ask some of those questions. But it's basically, the show is for educational and informational purposes only. And in law, I know that what lawyers have to go through is what they call the Socratic method, which is a series of questions. And in order to arrive at answers, we have to ask questions. You know, you ask questions. And one question begets another question. So if we don't ask questions, and I'm talking about all of us as humans, then there's a good likelihood that we're not going to get answers, you know, because we just don't go around making statements, you know. We just don't do that because sometimes people have to ask. You go into a restaurant, you know, the customer person behind the counter wants to know, what would you like to order? How can I help you, sir? How can I help you, ma'am? They can't just make a statement for you unless you ask them, well, what would you recommend? Well, I recommend the bologna sandwich, okay? Oh, I hate bologna. So they said, well, how about an egg sandwich? I had eggs yesterday. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, you might ask them, well, how is your new chicken, spicy chicken? But we that's the way we learn. So you all, please, the point I'm making is, please don't be shy to speak your opinion because that's where knowledge comes from, is from asking questions. All right, you're just joining us. Besides your faith, what makes you a believer in Christianity? And see, some of the answers that you may have, someone out there may start to think differently. They may start to think a little differently and say, hey, you know what? I didn't think about this before, but now that you brought that up, that makes sense. Or to me, it makes sense, or it doesn't. I think we're going to go to, let's go here. We don't recognize the number. Let's go to 305-620. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Go Girl, good evening.
Go Girl, thank you for joining us. This is our Go Girl. Go Girl, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, besides your faith, and remember, we're trying to keep the comments within 20 seconds because we've got a lot to cover, and we're already almost a quarter of the way through. Besides your faith, what makes you believe in creation?
That commentary kind of made me think. However, when I look at just my surroundings, when I'm outside and I really enjoy nature, nature gives me the respect for creation. And I realize when I pull a leaf or a leaf falls from the tree, that has nothing to do with me or man. That is a natural occurrence that happens, and it does not reflect on my doing, but a time or place that our Savior, our Creator, has provided for this to occur. So that's how nature gives me a reason to believe in creation.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. And I want to go back to you, Go Girl, and that is, well, if you look at the theory of evolution, it does talk about nature. It just talks about man evolved from the ocean, you know, the species there, and come through the line of or the lineage of maybe monkeys, you know, and they place emphasis on a tailbone that's on the back of a man, you know, back there. So, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, that's nature.
Well, evolution does take its place. However, for me and my understanding, if evolution occurs through the bodies of men, animals, and so forth, plants, it could not occur in a time where we, if you live for 50 years, if you live for 70 years, that evolution should show some form of change. Yes, we do, even with this pandemic, our bodies might have to adjust to viruses or different illnesses that occur. Even with the type of food that we're eating, we see that our bodies are sometimes retracting from a direction of health but going backwards. But we know that as children or babies or just when you're born, you're actually born to proceed back to the earth. So the evolution for me, coming from a, you know, sea urchin or some kind of animal to myself, and they say it takes millions of years. If it does, and if you believe it, then you should see something on you that is turning to a different species and something that should be recognizable. So I don't believe in coming from some kind of sea urchin and crawling up on the land and eventually becoming a individual like myself, because it does not take, I'm not saying it wouldn't take that time, but it would not take the theory of creation on in the 6 days that God did it, which he spoke, the millions of years that evolution said it take, well, that's no comparison to those six.
We're going to ask you to stand by, but I want to ask you, Go Girl, and we got to be quick because I got a lot to cover you all. Are you familiar with the spider of, you know, that species, the spiders?
I'm not familiar with the evolution of the spider, at least. I know some of them have more legs than others.
All right, well, there's a species out there of creatures.
Okay.
Many of us may not even be aware, but do you know that according to science now, they actually change their sexes? Isn't that incredible?
So yes, I am aware of that. Yes, yes.
How do you even explain that? I was once a science teacher, and it's like that is just phenomenal. We're going to ask you to stand by, though. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in just quickly here. Then we're going to go to Marvin in a moment. We want to hear from the rest of you all out here. You just joined us besides what makes you a believer in creation. Pastor Roll, I want to ask, can prove, I mean, when we talk about creation, we automatically think about God. Think about evolution. People who automatically, perhaps, who know or where have heard the same corn. You think about Darwin and Darwinism. All right, so now, can you prove, if we talk about, we got noise in the background somewhere, you all. I do apologize about that. When you talk about creation, Pastor Roll, can you prove the existence of God, in your opinion? Of course, in your opinion.
Okay, you asked me that question. Try to answer it in about 20 seconds, you know. I'm going to ask David. David, besides your faith, what makes you believe in Christianity? I believe he would have said, as you said in Psalms 121, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man? In other words, he knew it was something beyond evolution, you know, in that Psalms 121 when he said it, you know. So when he looked at creation and nature and so on and so forth, he knew that it has to be a God that causes things to happen. Back to you. That's my thoughts on that.
Okay, but
back to you,
Dr.
Walker.
Question, Pastor Roll, the question is, you know, the question is, and I almost forgot the question. Darwinism here. What we were asking you, and you turned and you gave us what you thought David would have said. But I'm asking you directly because David's not here. So we're asking you directly, you know, can you prove the existence of God? You know, can you prove or can science even prove the existence of God?
Well, I just say again is, you know, when I look at nature, when I look at the sun and the moon, and when I look at man, I know it transcends evolution. That is a God behind everything. That's
right,
the only way that I can answer that.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational program. Besides your faith, what makes you a believer in creation? We're going to go to Marva on the line. Marva, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience. Marva, what makes you a believer in creation? Or do you believe in creation? All right, perhaps
yes,
Marva is not.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I'm here.
Quickly,
evening,
please,
Walker,
Marva,
everyone.
If you don't mind, if you'd be so kind.
Say that again, please.
Can you give us your thoughts, if you would, in 20 seconds or less, what makes you a believer in creation?
Genesis, the book of Genesis in the Bible. And I'll make one quote, and I'll be quick. This is Genesis 2 and verse 7. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I'm a critical care registered nurse for years. And we do lots of lab draws and to look at electrolytes and minerals in the results. Do you know that almost every mineral that is in the earth is in your blood? And they didn't have labs back there 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written in Genesis time. So that's why I believe it has to be true.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to phone lines again in just a moment. And I'll ask myself that question. Besides my faith, excuse me, what makes me a believer? Well, when I step out, like someone said earlier, when I step out or when I simply wake up and there's still breath in me, it's like the breath of life. This breath, I believe, came from something greater than myself, something greater than I can attest to experiencing, like another human being, another man or another woman or mankind. And so with this breath, and then coupled with not only the breath of awakening, but then when I'm able to move and be in, you know, if you know how the mind works, you know, the cerebrum and so forth and all of these components, the neurons and the cells and the all the molecules, the atoms and everything, how it works, and you say, this is too perfect. Some system, something behind a system of it all. And, you know, and I believe, this is just me now, I believe also that evolution, the science behind even some evolution, has to come from something so great that it's almost unexplainable. And so when I even look at the sun is, according to science, 93 million miles away from planet Earth. Yet, the sun rays will not scorch us because there's a layer there that will protect us from being burnt up by the sun. And then we look at the moon. I mean, I'm talking still about creation now. My belief, the moon is 240,000 miles away from Earth, planet Earth. But yet, it's so organized that it can light up the earth. So it does tie in with Genesis, as you said, you know, with the story of creation. But then could man have come up with those things and put that together? Well, even if you don't want to believe that, and I'm not trying to persuade anyone, but just the thought that there is not a person in with my capacity that could deal with the, you know how powerful the sun is? That you could actually go out there to that. The moon, the 240,000 miles away, and yes, in 1969 I was told that we did go to the moon. You know, many people are skeptical about it. I don't know. I wasn't there. But just like we weren't there, how can we say that there is no God that caused all of this here, even the centrifugal force that keeps everything in orbit that will not even allow it. That's a system. It won't even allow it to collide and destroy planets, galaxies, and so forth and so on. That's order. That's order. Order has to come from something. Order, even science says that. When we do we test hypotheses and so forth and so on, our minds are too small to actually understand the greatness of it all. I know I've taken more than 20 seconds. I do apologize for that. I wanted to give my perspective on that. Sir Ben, we want to bring you in. Sir Ben, all right, we got to really go fast now, you all, and I do apologize. We're going to get to as many of you all as we possibly can. And, Sir Ben, I want to start you off with this one here, also from our scenario bank. And this question here becomes, I'm a believer. Basically, because creation is what I was told about when I was a child. So, Sir Ben, the question to you is, okay, many people are told things about creation. They're told about God. But at one point, do you transition from childhood thinking to adult acceptance? From childhood thinking where you've been taught this to now adult acceptance? Sir Ben, talk to us.
Well, as we know, when I was a child, I felt like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways. We are always supposed to be growing in what we know. So what we have given to us as children, we're supposed to take it and digest. We call that milk. When we get older, we're supposed to be able to understand a greater understanding about what we knew as a children. We call that meat. So I'm in a stage in my life where I'm digesting meat now because I could take that which was given to me, Darwin theory, evolution, and now I understand God and how God is a part of everything and all that. God is a part of evolution. God is a part of Darwin. God created us all, everything. So if he created everything, then he's a part of everything. That is the meat. That is the meat.
All right, Sir Ben, at the same token, the question I asked Pastor Rowe earlier, can you prove the existence? Can the word, the key word here is prove. Can the existence of God be proven, in your opinion?
Yes, absolutely. Like when we look at, when we wake up in the morning, how do we know we woke up? Who told us we woke up? Who woke us up this morning? How do you know? You think it was an alarm clock? You think it was just your natural being? No. It was him that woke you up because he gives you life, he gives you existence, he gives you being. When we look at the moon, the stars, the planets, how everything aligns and stay in order the way it should be, God is a God of order. So order is there. It says even the birds don't worry about what to eat because he feeds them, why should we? So everything has its proper place. Everything is designed to work the way it's supposed to work. And who could do that? Only a God that could do that, to put things in order. Evolution occurs as a result of something else negative happening. And it's a resulting effect. God is a actual effect of everything happening in our lives because he already knows how it's supposed to happen.
But isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that based on, when we talk about proof, proof is like, it's like you have a cake. There's a cake and it's so good. Like I love coconut cakes. And someone may say, well, wow, they made this coconut cake for me. And that's like, wow, this thing is really good. What makes this so good? And they say, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the cake, you know, the ingredients. And so they can tell me, okay, we took coconuts, we took sugar, we took flour, we took whatever, a cake. I can't even cook. So whatever it makes it up, but I know what tastes good. So now, once those ingredients are there, they can prove it because they can bake that before me. So when we talk about proving the existence of God, can you go with ingredients step by step, other than what you're saying, because that sounds like a matter of faith, having a belief. Faith and belief sort of intertwine. So is there any proof that, help me out here because, okay, how did the sun get there? Well, my mother told me that God put it there. I didn't see him. Proof is what can be verified. It's like a fact and an opinion. Opinion is something that we render. A fact is something that can be verified or checked. So how do we check to see that, you know, God is there? Sir Ben?
So when I think about that, I think about the creation of us, how we are created, how we are created to perfection, even though we're imperfect. So when I look at the fact that I had a child, I had three children, and I look at the way that they were formed, how they were came from an embryo that grew into a small baby, that grew into an infant that could come out of a woman, and then watch that child grow from infancy into young adult and toddler and all those different stages of life. And yet I'm watching this. I'm watching creation happen at an actual state of my life. I'm watching creation. And yet I have to take in the understanding that if I could create such a beautiful being and God created me, because I don't know where I came from, just like they don't know where they came from. They're just told later on. But if you're a witness to creation, I'm a witness to creation every day. Every day the sun comes up, I'm a witness. Every day the moon goes down, the moon comes up, I'm a witness. Every day the sun goes down, I'm a witness. Every day my child changes from being an infant to a toddler to a young lady, I'm a witness to that. And so even into adult, and then they later on go and do what we did. They reproduce and have their own children. So that in itself, the fact that we have children that reproduce after its own kind, tells me there is a God, because that is a miracle within itself. And if we were a miracle.
Okay. Yeah, and I get it. You're right, a miracle. However, let's think about this for a moment. Are we really procreating? Are we really creating? Or are we really reproducing that which is life begets life that's already in us that will produce a species after its own kind. The creation, when I think of creation, I'm thinking that someone or something greater than myself actually took a mechanical, well, when I say mechanical, I don't mean a literal mechanical tool or something, but they devised something. They formed something that was not in existence. Are we really creating or are we reproducing that which is already within us? Sir Ben, because you mentioned creating your child.
Yeah, God is the creator. God is the creator. He is the
so we're the reproducers.
We are the reproducers, but he is the creator. We reproduce, but God creates life. See, without God, there is no life. There's just reproduction. That's why you could have a stillborn child, because there is no life in that child. That's why, because God is the life. He blows the ruach, the breath of life, that allows us to come out. When a child is born and they pull him from a mother's womb, the first thing they do is they slap it on the butt, and they wait for that child to clear its lungs. Ruach, that's the breath. The first breath that he takes, because he's in ambient spirit the whole time. He's breathing highly enriched oxygen the whole time until he comes out into the world, and then he exhales all that ambient fluid and breathes air, the ruach. That is life, the ruach, the breath of life.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go now live to Sister Marjorie. Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience. We've got a lot more to cover, you all. Sister Marjorie, give us your thoughts tonight.
Yes. Yes, good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, Pastor Roland. Good evening, all your co-hosts and guests. I just want to say also, last night, I'm sorry I was able to make it on the show, so I didn't get to, do my commercial. So if you want, I could do it now. What do you want me to do now?
Yes, just quickly, though. We got about 20 seconds, please.
Do the commercial. Okay. All right. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. We have a lot of health products that may be able to help you with any health conditions. And you could reach me at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. And we have, or if you want to find out more about the information, you could go to betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info, and you'll find a lot of different information. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay, certainly. Call back in. Yeah, so thank you. We want to hear from some of you all out there and get your thoughts on creation.
Okay, you want my thoughts also, Dr. Walker?
Go ahead and give us your thoughts real quick.
Okay, yes. What I think, with creation, looking around and see everything, you see the birds, the bees, the sun, the moon, the stars, somebody did it. The rainfall, just the environment around us, a lot of things that man cannot make, so God did that. So I just want to say we know there's a God because we can feel him, and we also see things that man cannot do, and it's God. And as one person said about Genesis, going back to Genesis, it tells you everything about that. Thank you.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You listen to your one-hour inspirational program. We're almost out of time, you all. We do apologize for that. We've got about 26 minutes before we bring the show to a close, and we still got a lot to cover. Some of you all are trying, my understanding is some of you all are trying to get in, but you got to press 1 on your dial so we can let you in. You must press 1 to go into queue to get in, to voice your comments. Let me take another one here. I want to go back. Let's go over here to Marva. Marva, we want to bring you back in here, and I want to get your thoughts on this very question here. When it talks about besides your faith, what makes you a believer in creation? Well, I get my belief from attending church regularly. Okay, how can you get a belief from attending church regularly? Because all you've got is people that are, whether it's a minister, a layperson, or whomever, telling you what they think based on maybe the Bible where we have now so many interpretations. Marva, give me your thoughts on that. You get it from attending church. Does it take church to just to believe?
Well, as Pastor Benny said, that when we were children, we thought and spoke as children. And as we grow older, we want our own answers. My answers started when I was about 22 years old. I needed to know. And I tell you, I have discovered much. And I would like to say, everybody's saying, well, the sun, moon, and stars, and when you wake up in the morning, and that's true. Because it says in Genesis, and God breathed the breath of life into man. Don't we still breathe? Yes, we do. That's one way to prove. And sun, moon, and star also, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and the cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hasn't that been true? That has been true. That's the word of God continuing to work.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate your comment. Let me go to Miss Nella. Miss Neely, Miss Nella. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Neela.
Miss Neal, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Give us your thoughts. I mean, you know, I mean, is there creation or is there evolution? Just briefly, please.
I believe in creation because Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We may not be able to see God, but it is the same thing with the wind. We cannot see the wind. We do not know where it's coming from, but we feel the effect. It will blow down the house. It will blow down the trees. So where is the wind? We cannot see the wind, but we can see the effect. Therefore, we cannot see God, but we can see his handiwork.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We can see his handiwork. Let me go to Go Girl. Go Girl, thank you for your patience. I want to ask you this question here. Go Girl, I mean, they gave me this question even in elementary school. They gave it to me again in middle school, and then they gave it to me again in high school. And it still puzzles me. If you're going to deal with evolution, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Go, girl. You go.
I'm just really, I can go back to, I believe that was Marva who just spoke, but I went to a seminar one time, and there was a gentleman there. It was based on him. It was through the school, but it was through the mathematics department. So if you're a mathematician, and really well understood numbers, this African guy, and I don't have the book in front of me, I actually gave it to my pastor, but he wrote a formula to prove that there was God. And it all centered around movement, wind. When God spoke, and we say, okay, we're trying to tell someone who perhaps has no Bible interest, but the air, the wind, nothing exists on earth without movement. And that movement, of course, we know as, or at least I understand it as, when God spoke, those things exist. That the breath that came forth from him is the air that we breathe. It is the air that's going to push that Arctic blast through the north. It is the air that circulates this earth consistently. And because of that movement, that wind, that air, and his composition in this, when he wrote this formula to prove that there was a God, it came right back to the Creator. And it was just an astounding and amazing format that he used. I don't understand the numbers, but it's an entire book that he wrote. It's just math showing you that God exists, and it exists through showing you the math through numbers, how all the formulas meet right back to the existence of movement, him speaking, and it existed. So
okay,
that's
so
my rendition.
Go girl, so you attended a workshop, assuming as an educator. If that was that important to you, I'm just asking here, kindly and respectfully, why wouldn't you have made certain that you could have gotten a copy of that?
I do
so
have
that
a copy
have
of it.
Some people who,
I do,
you know, may want to ask this question, like on tonight's show.
Yes, I don't have the book in front of me because I loaned it to my pastor, and I was supposed to get it back from him. But when this topic came up, that's all I thought about. If I was trying to explain that not from a biblical standpoint, but from a math standpoint, people know about numbers. The formula, of course, you would have to be someone that understood math in an extreme logical format to follow, you know, this book from, I think it started from page 1 all the way to about 47. And that is the formula he's writing the whole time, but just truly astonishing.
Okay, so it's probably similar to something that the Egyptians way back when they did the pyramids, because they did math calculations that even in today's time, many people can't even understand how they communicated with that. So math is quite significant. I'm familiar with some of this, but not the book necessarily, but with some of the mathematical calculations. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got another one in here. Go, girl, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Pastor Roll. I want to bring you back in. And now we're getting ready to go to another deep thought. And we've only got about 16 minutes here, telling me. All right, so now we're looking at, I remember my science teacher. Here it is. This is another situation that came in. My science teacher in public school could not talk about creation, but she gave us her opinion about creation as she taught evolution. So, Pastor Rowe, all right, here it is. You're a Christian. You're working in a public school setting. You're giving your opinion on creation, but you're teaching evolution. Isn't that like a conflict of interest, possibly? Or a contradiction? Pastor Rowe. All right, Pastor
Rowe.
Okay,
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, Pastor Rowe. Quickly, please.
Okay, well, I just want to say, you know, a lot of things that has before mentioned, you know, you had asked the question, you know, why do we attend church? You know, we know we come because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But everything is, a lot of things we might not understand, but we'll understand it better by and by. But the thing that I do want to say, you know, a lot of people think that the sun moves. The sun doesn't move. The sun stands still, but the earth revolves around the sun, so you think it's that way. But everything is motivated by thought. God gives us thought, thinking process, thought. Thoughts bring about actions, and actions bring about results. And you can imagine the faith of Thomas Edison, 10,000 phases before he perfected the incandescent light, but he didn't give up. But God gave him that thought, and that doesn't come by evolution. That comes from the divine creator. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, very good. Thomas Edison, we talked about it. He had over 2,000 failures before success came. So let me just ask, because a lot of us can say nothing is birthed before its time. So let me go back just for a second and bring in Marva. Marva, just quickly here, if we speak about Thomas Edison, it took over 2,000 times with his attempts at the light bulb before light came into existence. Why, when God knowing we would need light for the future with electrical things, why couldn't God have just kind of like made it work after the fourth or fifth time, you think? Just asking the question here.
I I really don't know what to say, but I can say that God himself, when he, the first thing he said was, let there be light. So we needed light. But before, the people used candles and firelight, you know, from stones and the like, from flint stones. So I can't answer the question as to why God, Jesus couldn't, probably knows how to, that an iPhone was possible or a telephone, but he didn't tell those people back then. He just told them what they needed to know.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by here. Go ahead, finish your thought quickly, please.
Yes, sir. No, I said I'm not able to answer that, but I'd like to ask, Go Girl, what's the title of that book so that I could look at it? Because I talk about creation mainly from a medical point of view, and I'd like to see it from a mathematical point of view.
You know what? I apologize. I do not have that book in front of me, but I will get it and post it to Dr. Jesse so that you'll actually see the picture of the author and the title itself.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I will.
All right. So thank you for that as well. So we want to take a look now. And another question. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Sir Ben, God being in existence, and we talk about creation, when sometimes people are praying, and they've been praying for years, like even to find a husband or a wife, and just the same now, I mean, it doesn't seem like God is really, you know, he might be busy at that point because the people have waited for years. What do you think is happening when nothing is too hard for him? You know, because if he created everything and we're his children, then wouldn't he give us the desires of our heart? That's what the Bible tells us. Sir Ben, your thoughts on that? All right, perhaps Sir Ben is not there. Let me go ahead and bring in Pastor Roll on that question. So, Pastor Roll, the woman is praying for a husband or the man is praying for a wife, then why, Pastor Roll, does it not happen? Why doesn't it happen? 20 years, they're still waiting. 30 years. Pastor Roll?
I miss you. Repeat your question again, Dr. Walker.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Go Girl, that same question. If we're praying for something and God has not seemingly answered that prayer, and you're waiting 15 years for the right man or the right woman, I mean, when he can just cause the person to be walking down the street at the right time, as in what they call a God moment. What do you think about that?
I believe that there are instances that has happened, and even with people that are praying for this, but perhaps their prayer is not answered because perhaps they are not ready. And as they are a child of God, God does not want to give them something that may, I always use the term, detour their faith. It's not a question of why it's taken so long. It may just be a question of when will he be ready for me to have that. And, you know, as social beings, we believe that, you know, he made Eve for Adam and so forth. Why haven't I received mine, you know? But life is not that way. We don't decide, and we are able to do it now sometimes, but it's through manipulation. We can't decide whether we're going to have a boy or a girl, child. So that's how I look at it. And again, it all goes back to patience. And it says, here's the patience of the saints. So we have to simply understand that that is one of the things that as a individual waiting for God's return, patience is going to be necessary. And everything that is the same way some people die early in life, tragically, some people just, it never happens. Why does the same thing occur for others and not for yourself?
Okay, all right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to come back to you and ask you this question. We got another one here, and we're almost out of time, for real, we are. We go to this next question on, I met my current wife at church over 4 years ago, but since then, she has become agnostic. Are we still equally yoked? They want to know if they're still equally yoked. She subscribes now to evolution as opposed to creation. So, Pastor Roll, how do you answer that question?
Well, there is a, you know, we can't be become unequally yoked. And speaking about patience, you know, there's a timing that's just so important. As my sister just had before mentioned, you know, is even Job understood timing, you know, when he said, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change come. So we got to learn patience. We got to learn how to wait on the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. Their mind will wings, you know, so on, you know the scripture. So God is just teaching us how to be patient and wait. If we wait, a lot of times we move prematurely. We make mistakes, but we wait for God's perfect timing. That things will begin to happen. It's all about patience, 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 patience. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you so much. Ms. Neal, we're going to bring that same question to you, Ms. Neal. And that question is, this man met his wife in church. This is a question. And the question is, he says, now, he met her 4 years ago, but now she's agnostic. Agnostic is she neither believes nor believes in a God. So she's almost like neutral. I don't believe, but I don't disbelieve. So it could be. There's a possibility. There's a probability. Not even so much a probability, but a possibility. So now he says she leans more towards evolution as opposed to creation. And he met her in the church. So now the question becomes, Ms. Neal, are they equally yoked?
They are not equally yoked anymore, because they do not believe in the same God or the same way. There will be a rift in the relationship, but the Christian, whether the husband or the wife, then that person is supposed to stand up and demonstrate the love of God to her or to him, and walk in righteousness and pray for him or her so that she will come back into the fold of safety, into the ark, before it is eternally too late, because nobody can see the face of God except they believe in him as the creator, as the redeemer and friend.
Okay, so, Ms. Neal, I get what you're saying, all of it, and even the part that says that the non-believer can be sanctified by the believer. You know, I mean, that's what Scripture tells. You know, so we've heard that. But then where does the exercise of this woman, this wife's free will come into place? God does not impose. My understanding is God will never impose his will on someone who's not accepting of his will, on our own free will. So when you're saying pray for that person, it's almost like, okay, if my wife leaves me, if I have a wife and she leaves me, or a husband leaves his wife and she's praying, God, please send my husband back, and or the wife back, and that those parties are saying, I don't want to go back to him or her. Do you think God is going to impose on those persons' will? Ms. Neal, quickly, please.
God will not impose on our will, but he's able to work on anybody's heart don't care how sinful or how they think that there is no God. It can be that the sanctified husband or the sanctified wife can live a life and so pure and holy before God that they will see the life and come back to glorify God. It may be that they do not, but what can he do? He cannot divorce her because she stopped believing in God. And
okay, but
I
then
think,
we're also told don't be unequally yoked. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, please. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time, you all. Besides your faith, what makes you a believer in creation? Tonight's program, and we're going to ask Go Girl to end our program tonight just to kind of wrap things up besides your faith. But in about 3 minutes, Go Girl, if you'd be so kind to just wrap this up for us, and you will have about 90 seconds to wrap that up in about 3 minutes. All right, let me go on here. We're going to try to cover a couple more. We got about 3 minutes, you all. They're already starting to threaten me over here, and threats are not good. I don't understand. We're going to go to Sir Ben. Are you still with us, Sir Ben? All right, we're going to go to this question here.
Yes, I'm serious.
Okay, so Sir Ben, this one here in 20 seconds or less, we got to go fast. I don't understand how a public school teacher who happens to be a Christian can actually teach evolution. How do you do that? You know, and then they go on to further say, would you teach that if your job is on the line? That if you don't teach it, you can lose your job. Sir Ben, just quickly, 20 seconds or less, please, sir.
You are an employee of the state, and the state has given you a moratorium on what to teach, how to teach, and when to teach. And I'm going to go back to this again. If they give you that rule and you're supposed to teach, then that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to obey the laws of the land of your superiors, and so you teach that. Now, you can go back to church, Sunday school, Bible study, whatever you want to do. You can have your own Bible study at your own house and teach creation all you want. But when you are in the workplace, you have to obey the laws of the land. If you don't like that place, then you need to go to a place that services what you want to teach, what you want to present.
Okay, so it's just like the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution of the United States. We can't, I mean, if it's the federal government, then that trumps state law. So now with God's law, you know, we obey the laws of the land unless it interferes conscientiously with your objections. You trump God's law for state law? I don't think so. And so, in other words, believe evolution, and they're forcing you to teach evolution. That's not your belief. Then aren't you teaching a lie? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, listen, there are multiple different types of factions in the world. There's all type of religions, all kind of people, all kinds of everything. God says, my people. He doesn't specifically say by nationality, by religion, by faith, none of that. He doesn't declare anybody to be other things than my people. So we are all God's people. How we come to him is not what we should be concerned with, because he said, I'm going to send people. When they had the upper room, there were thousands of other people that were going out into the world to deliver the message. They didn't always look the same. They didn't speak the same. They didn't even act the same. But the message was still being presented. We got to quit being so specific about every little thing. God uses whomever he needs to get his word across, to get his message across, that they may come into him. And as long as they're coming to him, mission accomplished.
All right. Sir Ben, we're going to ask you to stand by. You all, we're out of time. I mean, they just, oh, my goodness, you just don't know. Go Girl, we're going to ask you to close out. Let me give you this last one. We got more of them, but we're not going to be able to get to them tonight. And it says, as a child growing up, my grandmother always talked about the Creator and her belief instilled in us to believe in a higher being more so than human. I still believe because of my teaching and upbringing. Close us out with, how important is that? Go Girl, close us out.
I without just thinking about our own individual perceptions of faith, in a whole, as the gentleman said, we are bound to pretty much what we've been taught, but that's as a child. As an adult, we need to firmly understand for ourselves. And learning for yourself creates a different direction of how you live, how you play, how you raise your family, how you interact with other people. So individually, we do go to our own destinations, but we as a group have a direction that we're all going. So I understand that we should as a group, as children of God, be living in a way that others will see the light. They will see the breath. They will see the testimony in us, not just as a Christian, but as a person. And that person individually can display the love of God.
Okay. All right. On that note, listen, we are clearly out of time. I want to thank everybody. Thank you so much, Go Girl, for bringing that point of light to us. We certainly do appreciate that. Let me go ahead now and say to you all tonight, we certainly appreciate everyone and all the thoughts that you all presented and your opinions and so forth and so on. And I just want to say to you all, please join us here tomorrow morning when we are going to have our miracle prayer day. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic, tomorrow morning's topic, that is, Miracle Prayer Day. We're going to have a special speaker. He's a medical missionary, and he's going to be presenting information on remedies that heal, that have helped other people. Now, he will also have a disclaimer that he's not giving medical advice or anything along those lines, but you will want to hear his inspirational story and perhaps some testimonies as well. So listen, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night,
everyone.
Good night, everyone. And nice. Happy birthday to my brother, Nikki. God bless you all. Keep safe and
great
be
show.
Well, everyone. Yeah, great show. I do agree. Have a good night, everyone. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Marjorie.
Good night, Pastor Rowe. You all were great tonight.